So we're going to be looking at the topic of treasure and where do we have our treasures. And so I thought when I saw this, I thought, this is an interesting one for the sort of time that we're living in this world where wealth seems to be going further and further advanced to anything else. Like as long as you've got money, it doesn't matter if you lie. If you've got money, it doesn't matter that you cheat. So I think it's a topic that's really relevant for today and for what's happening in our world. So we're going to be looking at treasures and where that is, and we're going to be looking at a passage that is from the Gospel of Mark, and a lot of us probably are very aware of it. It's called The Rich and the Kingdom of God. And so we're going to start at chapter 10, verse 17, we're going to 23. So this is what it says. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not murder, you should not steal, you should not commit adultery, you shall not give false testimony, and you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Very strong theme this morning, isn't it? The love of God. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. So let's think about this a little bit more. The interactions between this young man who was incredibly wealthy for his time and the interaction, the encounter he had with Jesus and the challenge that Jesus gave to him. And we're just going to watch this video.
As he comes to Jesus, he's deferential. He addresses him with respect. He seems sincere in his question. As they have this dialogue, Jesus references things like the basic Ten Commandments that many of us are familiar with. Don't kill, don't steal. And the young man, you sense is almost, well, you can't tell, is he feeling good about himself because he's done those things? Is he kind of feeling a little prideful or pleased with himself? But it may also be that he is thinking, wow, I came all this way to just hear what I already knew. You know, we don't really know what he might be thinking in his mind in this, but he pushes Jesus a little bit more. Yeah, I've done these things, you know, so is everything good? And Jesus then answers, no, you need to sell all that you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me.
Here we have a young man or a man who has lots of money and goes to Jesus. I love the fact that he says he fell on his knees before Jesus. So here he is, really obviously genuinely wanting to know what he needs to do. And so we have this man who tells us that he goes away and he's sad. Why is he sad? Because what is he having to give up? His wealth. And he says this, it's really interesting. I didn't realize this until I was doing this. So Jesus talks a lot about money, but not because of what I thought. 15% of what Jesus said relates to the topic of money and riches. And this is more than his teachings on heaven and hell combined, which I went, never realized that. So he's more concerned about the riches. So let's just think about this. Let's think about other people that have encounters with Jesus that have money. So let's think about Zacchaeus, who we will look at. Zacchaeus was a tax collector And he was well known in those days that tax collectors, it was like one for them, two for me. They tend to have a tendency to rip off people. So he was Zacchaeus, a tax collector. There's another interaction with a woman who is seen as poor, and she gives the last part of her money away. And Jesus says, this woman will be remembered for what she has done. And then he has many teachers on how are we supposed to care for the needy. He did that on the Sermon of the Mount. So he's concerned about these issues. So how do we, with our finances, is seen by John and Jesus? So John and Jesus both had comments to make about riches. So John says, so John the Baptist in Luke 3 talks about the fruit of repentance when people are getting baptized by him. This is what he says. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with someone who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with all your pay. And that's from Luke chapter 3. And then Jesus comes along and he says, again, it's written in Luke, he continues, but on this is where Zacchaeus comes into it. So Jesus is out there with Zacchaeus and it's Luke 19 and he says, Lord, Lord, now I give half my possessions to the poor and I have cheated anybody out of anything. I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I love the way that Jesus says, today salvation has come to your house. And it's not because he's giving the money away. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about he's reflecting his heart. Zacchaeus was reflecting his heart of gratefulness that Jesus accepted him, a tax collector. So it's a heart response, not about the whole money thing. So money matters and it reflects the heart. But whatever your treasure has in your heart, according to Jesus, again in Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So it's interesting, this conversation, this encounter that Jesus and this young man was having, it started with a question, didn't it? He asked a question to Jesus. And for us today, we live in an information overload. It's just a click away. And often we get that message by asking questions. You know, we look on good old e-Google, don't we? I use what's called DuckDuckGo because it blocks all the Google stuff. But that's where we go, isn't it? We go and we say, yeah, what are my symptoms? Sore throat, cough, headache. Oh, my goodness, I've got this. So we do it and we can have it in an instant. It's just like a click away. And so in this passage, this young man does the same. He asks a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's his question to Jesus. And Jesus has an interaction with this rich man. And I know I did this when I first was reading it. You know, well, I'm not that rich. I don't have that sort of money. I live on a pension, so that's okay. Nothing to do with me. I don't have to worry about this passage. Yet, when I was reading this, I realised that most of us in this country earn more money than some of the people in the rest of the world. my pension is more than what our brothers and sisters in Africa or in Iran or Afghanistan live on. They have dollars a day compared to our income and my income. And this is really, this was a credit that was reported, and this is American, and it just says, a net worth of $93,000 is enough to make you richer than 90% of the people around the world. 90% of the people around the world. So let's look at this. Two things stand out. Firstly, the rich young man asking questions. It sounds sincere, doesn't it? He fell at his knees. He did it out in the public. There was a sense of sincerity there. Now, we don't know for sure because he goes away sad. And why is he going away sad? Because the question that he asked, he didn't get the answer that he wanted back. And how often does that happen to us? Secondly, he asked the question, what must I do? How many times have we... I know that this morning I'm like, I've got to do this, I've got to get it right. It's all about me. And yet this was the question that this man asked. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He thinks that somehow he can do enough to get right with God and inherit eternal life. He's like, yep, I do all the right things. I keep the commandments. I'm ticking all the right boxes. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And many people think that way. Many people think, oh, you know, I don't lie, I don't steal, I haven't murdered anybody. I'm okay. I don't need anything else because I'm doing these right things. And yet Jesus brings a revelation into this. And when I thought about this, I had a bit of a giggle. I visited my mum on Friday. and I could imagine the kids around here, not here but outside, can do this. Do you remember the look that your mother or father would give you that was just that right sort of glare that they didn't even have to speak a word and you go, okay, I'm in trouble, I'm moving away. And that's what we do. And Jesus gives that sort of look to this man. And he follows it up with a revelation about the man's heart. And that was in Matthew, that was again in Matthew. And let me flip back to it, because it's 20 to 21. This is what it says. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Two things stand out in that passage, doesn't it? Firstly, which I love, and I've actually got big and bold here. Firstly, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Love was the centre of what Jesus said here. He isn't angry at him. He isn't trying to be mean and nasty by telling him to go sell all his stuff. What he was doing was loving this man. And this account reminds us that even when Jesus asks hard things of us, and he does, what we need to remember, even if Jesus' words to me are difficult to hear, they are delivered with love. Secondly, Jesus dissects the heart of the matter. This issue, as I said earlier on, isn't actually about money itself. For there are other followers of Jesus that at the time they didn't have to sell everything. This wasn't asked to every person that Jesus met. They used their homes as a place of hospitality. And we can think of Mary, Martha, Lazarus. They opened their homes and they were quite wealthy. Yet they weren't asked to sell everything. because it was their heart response of inviting and allowing Jesus to come into their home and into their lives. So this issue is about what does this man treasure in his heart more than following Jesus? And for this, the answer is money. I want to share a little bit about myself. So I think it was about 6 years ago now, I was working for Anglicare. I was in a full-time position. I was loving what I was doing. It was just the right fit for me. I'd been a chaplain for about 13 years. I was living down here, and my health started falling apart. And so I started praying, Lord, you know, that in my weakness, let your strength come through. So I was quoting all the right passages, all the right verses, going off to the mental health units where I worked and going all day, yet got home, closed the door, and no one could see it, but I'd fall apart. Physically, I was falling apart. Emotionally and mentally, I was falling apart. And so I kept this up. Lord, your strength, when I'm weak, let your strength be. And it's just, I was saying all the right verses, but I was still falling apart. No one else saw it because it happened behind closed doors. I started not being able to come to church as much as I'd like to because I wasn't well enough. So everything was going wrong. And I had to come to a place where I needed to decide what I was to do. When I was praying, I was doing that. Lord, you know, this is my heart for you. I want to serve you. I want to minister to you. I need you to get me through this. And so in my head, my prayers were still about me. Big difference. It was about me. And I spent weeks in prayer. I actually had to take time off work because of it. And as I was praying, I just had this real sense within myself that God was calling me to resign. Gee, that was hard to hear. Because I loved what I did. And in my head, I was serving God. And I struggled, I wrestled with that statement that I heard from God. So in the end, and it's interesting that Stu, wherever you are, Stu, talked about confession, because in the end, I had to basically get on my knees and confess that I was trusting Anglicare and looking towards Anglicare to provide for me. My treasure was the ministry that I was involved in, and my faith was in Anglicare that they would pay for that. I was on a good income. I was getting the income of an Anglican clergy. So I was doing well to the extent where as a single person I was able to buy my own home. And yet this conviction was incredibly strong in me. And so I confessed. Love that word. I didn't only confess. I repented of putting Anglicare before God. And within a week I had resigned. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to pay my mortgage. I didn't know. That was it. I thought, I've just got to obey God and I'm going to do this. I'm going to resign. So I resigned. So for me and for this man, we're both given a choice. We're both given a choice. For him, it was about sell all your money, sell everything and give to the poor. And come follow me. And for me, it was like, let go of security, let go of your finances, and follow me. The scripture says about this man responding to Jesus' challenge. And the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He chose his earthly wealth before the internal wealth that each of us will receive because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. That is the difference. So here the choice. Jesus gave him a choice. Jesus didn't force it on him. And he couldn't let go of what was in his hands to gain something greater and more valuable. He couldn't see beyond his money. His treasure was money and not the kingdom of God. One of the things, I won't show the video for this, but Michael Bird, who's in this encounter series, this is what he says about the man. He wanted to have a relationship with God as long as it cost him nothing, because some people love things rather than they love the creator of all things. I think that was a really strong statement, to love things rather than the love of the creator of all things. So let's wrap this up. So we can have you can take this with us. I love this, I didn't know this. So J.D. Rockefeller was one of the wealthiest men alive when he died in 1937. And I just thought, you know, all rich people just hoard it and then give it on to their kids. But this is what happened. He actually gave money to the church and to humanitarian enterprises. And after he died, someone asked his accountant how much he left. And the accountant's reply was, he left all of it. So all of his wealth, and he's a bit like Elon Musk today in his time, he left everything to the church and to services that were caring for the poor. This was his heart. It wasn't money. It was about caring and caring for other people. And good old Moses, woohoo, I like Moses. He left treasures, didn't he? He was a son of the Pharaoh, had been adopted by the Pharaoh. He lived in incredible wealth. And yet when he saw one of his fellow Jews being badly treated, he responded. And he had to run away. But what Moses was doing was he was looking ahead. He was looking ahead to what God had promised him. Let my people go. That was Moses' heart. And if we look at Paul encourages in the church in Corinth to excel in giving. And this is what he says. Yep. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. The thing here is that this world and all in it is not all that there is. This world is temporal. We know it's going to come to an end. We know our lives are going to come to an end. And so we look ahead like Moses did. We look towards who Jesus is and what he's done. And this is why Jesus says in Matthew, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven.